The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back. It is hour two of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. Of all of the podcasts on the internet, we are of all of them. More specifically, the In This League variety, the In This League fantasy football, baseball, basketball is back. And I had a listener email me. This is interesting. People can hear me on I've been on CBS Fantasy Baseball today. You know, one of the top baseball podcasts I've been hosting. I love the email, by the way, Boggs, because he goes, "Yo, Welch." With the C, when he had to put in my name of Welsh. He goes, "Yo, Welch, been listening to the CBS Baseball podcast. Great job, regular listener to your baseball and football pods." But he's emailing because he just found out we do a basketball podcast. Yes, we do. The In This League Fantasy Basketball podcast in the full throes, two episodes a week for all of your basketball prep. Just search In This League or ITL wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's iHeart or Spotify or any of that stuff, Google Podcasts, and you will find us and you can subscribe to those. Bogman does a multitude of college fantasy football. I do a prospect podcast where I just interviewed Royce Lewis from the Minnesota Twins. So lots of cool stuff out there that you can listen to in our world. But here is our open forum of a radio conversation. And we just did our DraftKings lineup. And as we were recording this, finding out the news that Deontay Johnson has been elevated to a starter with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I mean, don't they kind of run out three wideouts as a starter anyways?
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that he'll play like when they go to tight ends or whatever, he'll be the opposite guy. But I think most of the time he's still in three wide receiver sets. He's going to be in the slot. And but he's dirt cheap, $3,000.
Yeah, I see. I just found him. Are you somebody that looks at that or hears that and feels positive? Or do you think there's a pivot play where you get that info, you're like, that's awesome, but James Washington goes out and gets targeted seven times versus the Niners this week?
I'm definitely not going to pivot play. So I'll say that. I think that Deontay Johnson being the number one means he's going to get the most snaps, which means he probably gets the most opportunity to catch the ball. So, I'm not running out to put Deontay Johnson in my lineup. So I did this lineup, DraftKings, where I have Mason Rudolph in there. I like my other buys. I like my buy of Zeke. I like my buy of Gurley. And, Marquise and Godwin. That's why I went with cheap at quarterback. So my FanDuel lineup, I didn't do that. And I feel like I like this one better.
Me too.
I just don't know how I got all of this packed into one lineup, by the way.
Me too. But ultimately, I think everybody has the same thing. Like, what's the week that we've both said we love our DraftKings more than our FanDuel? I think
it hasn't happened this year.
No, we just look at our FanDuel, we like it, but then we find more success on DraftKings. So I'm in a complete agreement with you. So let's just get into it. What do you got on your FanDuel this week? Or do you want to do deals first?
No, let's just go through teams first. My QB, I've got Lamar Jackson. So, on the road at Kansas City, but he's been putting up huge points. I'm excited about Lamar. Running backs here, the Welsh. I've got Saquon Barkley against Tampa Bay and Dalvin Cook against Oakland. So love those matchups. My wideouts here, I have Damari Bird once again, my cheap play. I've got Marquise Brown again and Sammy Watkins, 7,100 on there. My tight end is Vance McDonald again. My flex, I went your route, took Nelson Aguilar, 4,800. He's like the only wide receiver left that's healthy on the Eagles. And I went with the Cowboys defense again against Miami because they can't put points up on the board. So That would go Lamar Jackson, Saquon, Dalvin Cook, Watkins, Marquise Brown, Demary Bird, Vance McDonald, Nelson Aguilar, Dallas Cowboys defense.
I like that a lot. I think that's a pretty dang solid lineup there. What's the one question you have with the lineup when you stare at it?
Obviously, it's Demary Bird, but Demary Bird has put up, I think, like 5 and 6 catches so far. So, I mean, I'm not expecting him to get in the end zone, but as long as he gets me, 7 to 8 points somewhere in that neighborhood and doesn't give me a donut, I'm good. So if he anything more than that, I'm in the bonus as far as that spot goes. But he's been getting the football, so I like him.
I'm making an adjustment to my lineup bonus.
He's getting Deontay Johnson in the lineup. No, aren't you?
I'm getting that guy in the lineup. All right. I like this lineup even more now. All right. Are you ready for mine?
Let's hear it.
And I'll tell you what adjustment I made too. So at quarterback, I'm going with Tom Brady this week versus the New York Jets at 7,800. I believe he was like the fifth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He was the seventh most expensive, but I mean, it's more to say there are 6 more guys more expensive than Cam Newton, more expensive than him, but like Rodgers and Prescott, Lamar Jackson. I love the lineup here. I'm with another Patriot, Sony Michel. So it's kind of a hedge bet too, where if, we get maybe early 2 passing touchdowns from Tom Brady, I'm getting Sony Michel on the ground, which they have not been, they've not been afraid to do. I went cheap on the second running back, Frankie Gore, going with Frank Gore, 5,700 versus Cincinnati and the full run, we hope, for the Buffalo Bills. Now, wideout, I don't think I went too expensive. I really didn't, actually, now that I'm looking at this. I went Amari Cooper versus Miami, 7,700. Right. I also went Sammy Watkins, 7,100 versus Baltimore. Then I threw in some downtown John Brown, 5,900 against the Cincinnati Bengals. And then here's where some prices went up. I'm spending $6,400 for Evan Ingram. I want the shares of, which I believe he's the he's the fifth most expensive tight end. Never mind, I lied. Now, here's what
he's below the average too, because $6,600 is the average, so that's nice.
Here is what I had. I switched up my defense and flex. I had the Rams defense at $3,600 plus Christian McCaffrey at flex. That was what I had. I adjusted. I put in the Seattle Seahawks defense, who is at home against New Orleans with those quarterbacks, and I put in Saquon Barkley at $9,200 at my flex versus Tampa.
Mm-hmm. So run it down for me again.
Oh, I will. Tom Brady, Sony Michel, Frank Gore. Wideouts are Amari Cooper, Sammy Watkins, John Brown. Tight end is Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley, and Seattle Seahawks defense versus New Orleans and Teddy Bridgewater.
I love that you always save it for, you always save your money for the flex spot. I don't know why I find that hilarious, but it's always funny.
Yeah, well, because I go and I try to find my comfort level with what my running backs and wideouts can be, and I want that flex to be like a higher price guy, but I want to base it off of what the rest I was doing. I love this lineup. I absolutely love this lineup, though. What's a better word than exposed, Bogman? I'm susceptible to the the New England and the New York Giants
you're
game.
Invested in that game.
Yes. You would say my investment is in high.
The Patriots and Jets game.
Yeah. So. Which who actually wants that, right?
I mean, the Patriots want it. I don't think that the Jets do. The funny thing is the big story about Luke Falk coming out of the draft was he is obsessed with Tom Brady and he was a 6th-round pick at pick 196, just like Tom Brady was, although he was drafted by the Dolphins when he was drafted, and or was it the Titans? I think it was the Dolphins. I'm not 100% though, but he like read the TB12 book cover to cover and had it all dog-eared and all that stuff. So, and now his first start is against the Patriots in New England. So kind of funny how that stuff works out. I don't know if it's, it's not crazy or mystic or anything. It's just kind of weird how he's obsessed with Tom Brady and his first start is going to be on the road against Tom Brady at 41 years old.
I always wish, like, I want those guys to, who is that stupid pitcher that asked Zach Greinke for an autograph and Greinke told a professional baseball player to go kick
sand. No, it wasn't a pitcher. It was, oh, no, yeah, you're no, right. It was a reliever. It was the guy from the Rockies. Oh, God.
I don't remember who it was, but that one pitcher that did that. I want like a quarterback like that to go in and like be like, "Hey Tom, will you sign my jersey and
you
stuff
think
like that?"
That doesn't happen every single game. I guarantee you, it does.
Yeah, it probably does.
It has
probably
to happen every game.
Yeah, like, but I want to see like fanboy. I want to see someone fanboy out. That's my favorite. But then everybody acts all cool. Like you'll hear stories like that where the guy's like, "Oh yeah, you know, grew up, did all this, this, this," and then like, you know, he's just cool and he's like, "Yeah, no, it's cool. It's playing against Tom Brady. That's pretty cool." And it's like, "No, dude, you." Five years ago, you're losing your ass. You're completely losing your mind. I want to see Pat fanboy Nishik. Out. Pat Nishik, that's what it is. And he Pat didn't fanboy Nishik. Out.
What
he
a
just
loser. What a loser. Asking for autographs, you loser.
What a loser. Who do you think you are? Loser. Asking Zach Greinke.
Loser.
I bet Tom Brady would be super nice about that, though.
Yeah, he seems like... Tom Brady seems like a nice guy. It's like, just as long as you're not in his, like, you know, intense wavelength, you're fine. You know, as long as you don't interrupt a workout or anything, he seems like the nicest guy in the world. So
are you talking about deflating footballs?
Yeah, I wouldn't talk about that either if I was around Tom Brady. You want some deals for FanDuel here?
Yeah, let's hear them.
Mason Rudolph, once again, below the poverty line. Rudolph, Flacco, Daniel Jones, Taysom Hill, Josh Rosen, Luke Falk.
Who are you starting anybody there?
Rudolph, I think, is fine. Okay. But other than that, I don't think I would. I don't want Flacco on the road. You know what? Daniel Jones is okay, too, because Tampa Bay's defense still bad. So,
okay, so same plays.
I don't want Daniel Jones to, like, I don't want to put him in my lineups here because that's his first start ever. You know, maybe it's sneaky, like, you know, you do your Giants stack in a tournament or something, but I'm trying not to. I don't want to do that. Running backs here, Kerryon Johnson, Josh Jacobs, sick Josh Jacobs is in here. Mixon, Lindsey, Damian Williams, who probably won't play, James White, Freeman, Jalen Samuels, Peyton Barber, Mouse Fart, David Montgomery, and Carlos Hyde are all 6,000 and 6,600. The deeper deals down here, we've got Freeman.
Peterson.
Peterson. What do you say?
I get your boy Adrian Peterson, 5,500.
Yeah, against the Bears though, I don't want him against the Bears. And I'm trying. I have a lineup where I have to start him this week, and I'm just trying to find someone on the wire.
I think this is interesting.
I'll pick up Deontay Johnson, to be honest with you.
Our boy Jeffrey Wilson Jr., who we said is literally the cheapest price on DraftKings. Pricier here, 5,300. Pricier to the point where he's more than Kenyon Drake, Gio Bernard, Chris Thompson. He's more than guys like Pollard and Madison, Ballage. I'm just looking, Ronald Jones. I mean, I'd say that's a pretty aggressive assignment they gave him here. So FanDuel, a little bit more appreciative of the goal line back that is Jeff Wilson. So again, maybe even more reason why he's a better deal on DraftKings and to try to, you know, play around, get him in a lineup.
Yeah, and the only other one I would mention down here is, once again, Darwin Thompson being at 4,500. So, but Darwin Thompson is going to be in so many lineups, you might want to just think the opposite. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Where you're not taking him. Wideouts below the poverty line here, Lockett, Jackson, Tyler Boyd, Ridley, Moore, Gallup, who's not playing but somehow still in here. I wish they'd take the guys that aren't playing out, but
I don't know.
Never going
to
happen.
You would think Hardman, it would be easy to take him out, but apparently not.
Tyrell Williams,
just
Jameson
like Shohei Ohtani being one player, but it's not.
DK Metcalf, Jarvis Landry, Marquise Brown, Mike Williams, Will Fuller, Josh Gordon, Sterling Shepard, Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald, your boy Curtis Samuel. Those are some good deals. Other guys down here, your boy Debo, 5,500.
Like that.
Marvin Jones isn't bad either down here, 5,400. Let me see. My guy Trey Quinn at 5,100, but that's against the Bears. No thanks. Preston Williams is in here at 5,100. I'm trying to look for somebody else. Maybe JJ Arcega-Whiteside at 4,600. Miles Boykin 4,500. It's JJ Arcega-Whiteside. Hello, everyone. Welcome to JJ.
It's Saturday Night Live
featuring Arcega-Whiteside.
How do you say it? Ortega?
That's how he'd be introduced.
It would.
On Saturday Night Live.
The guy just stops his deep voice. He's like, no. Arcega? Is it Arcega?
Arcega.
It's Castilian. Okay. Ortega Whiteside. And then, you know, tight ends, there's always good deals. But they dry up real quick. Like, you're down here, down to Jack Doyle, Jason Witten, Jimmy Graham, Trey Burton. Jimmy probably won't play also. And then it just like drops off a cliff. It's like, okay, Noah Fant's caught four balls. He's down here. And Cameron Brait. And then CJ Uzomah. And you're like, oh, that got ugly really quick.
Oh, so, things changed. Yeah, it got pretty, pretty bad. All right, I feel pretty pretty good. What do you think? We gonna cash in all four again?
I really like this FanDuel. I'm not completely sold on my DraftKings. I like it, but a lot depends on how Mason Rudolph looks in his first start ever. So, you know, I'm trying it. I wanted to buy the big backs, so that was the whole point of doing that deal, and that's what I did. So,
here's a piece of news.
I'm way more confident in FanDuel,
though. Here's a piece of news: Damian Williams officially ruled out for Week 3.
All right, now Darwin Thompson definitely going in a lot of lineups.
And what about Shady? So, what was Shady on both platforms? I'm going to look.
Shady's
here.
Banged up too, though. So, like, you
Shady
know,
was 5,000 on DraftKings and FanDuel. He is 5,500. That's a if he's out there, it's a pretty good play, man.
Yeah,
you want to get
bad.
You want to get a zero running back strategy. Put McCoy at 5,500 and Gore at 5,700, and then just spend everywhere else.
Yeah, that's true. I'm kinda thinking of that. You said he's 5,000 on DraftKings.
Yeah, 5,000.
Look at that. Maybe I need to flip out.
But Dave Montgomery's
got DeMarcus Robinson in there.
Get him out. Put LeSean McCoy in.
Yeah, I think I'm going
to
do that.
All right. Well, give us the official update when we come back from break. So our guy Drew, you can email it to him. But those are our DraftKings and FanDuel lineups. You can go back on the podcast if you missed any of it. You can play them, tweet us, get internet points while we maybe make you money. I made money last year, and Bogman played. So maybe you'll win some good stuff
this
year.
You didn't make money last year. You made money last week.
No, $12 I made last year.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, it's on Drew. You were negative 22. I made 12.
Okay.
Look at that. All right, we got to go break. We'll be back.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In the bleed.
Welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Heard on all the apps. If you want to do it live, you can do it on iHeartRadio. If you're like Bill O'Reilly, blanket, let's do it live. You can do it on iHeartRadio or the FNTSY app. Or listen wherever podcasts are, and come and check us out over on Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Did you make any changes?
All the apps.
All the apps,
the Welsh. Uh-huh. The mozzarella sticks, nachos.
What's your favorite appetizer?
Onion.
What's the number one for you?
Probably mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, I think that's a go-to. Because you know what I'm starting to consider? They always put nachos on the appetizer list, but nachos are always like, well,
really more of a meal.
Yeah, better than a meal. I'm going to get the nachos for a meal. Nobody gets them as an appetizer.
Well, I mean, that's what I had on the Thursday Night Football on Thursday was the Super Nachos from Federico's right down the street from me. So
very relevant to everybody.
I'm all about nachos.
Yeah, so. I am too. But yeah, probably mozzarella sticks somewhere near the top. There are at least one or two.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's... It's your standard white trash, you know, appetizer. I want to, you know, Applebee's or whatever.
Get a little sampler. Be like, give me
lobster,
some. Yeah,
right.
I want a little bit of everything. Give me some cheese sticks, some fries, little chicken nugs, some stuff like that.
Yeah, if it says artisanal in it, I'm just, no, thank you. I'm good.
Why? Because healthy?
Artisanal, blah, blah. Nah. Give me grease. That fried. Give me that cheese. It's fried. That's what I want.
See that guy over there that's got a sleeveless shirt with shorts and sandals with socks on? I want what he's eating.
I'll have what he's having.
And buy that man another natty. All right. did you make any changes to your DFS? You were talking about on the break.
No, I'm good. I'm good on my DFS. I thought about going through and messing with it a little bit much, but you know, that's where you get into trouble. You start to tinker, mm-hmm. you start to mess with stuff. You gotta go with your gut. Yeah. So,
which are both of ours are very large.
I go with my gut way too much.
They did. It was said, you know, with the Damian Williams officially out, there's still a questionable tag that was attached to LeSean McCoy. He is good to go, but it looks like word out of there is that they are, they're a little bit worried about letting him have the full load. So he's probably still going to split, which again just makes Darwin Thompson like a really good cheap option.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I said with the tournament plays is he's going to be in so many lineups. I'll ask Bubba about it. You know, Bubba does, he actually has the, you know, he can do DFS stuff. We can't.
Yeah.
So
I think he does a couple different shows.
I'll ask him about it. He's got his own show.
Yeah, he's doing one on Fantrax now, the Fantrax DFS show where it's going over like the main slate. And then, I think he's got a couple other things going down. So Bubba here coming up here in hour three. So, how do we do last week? We do our pick'ems every single week. Week one, I think we were both bad in week one? And we were both 9-6 in something. I think mine were.
Yeah, you were good on the against the spread. You're 9-6 against the spread.
Yeah.
I was 9-6 on the over unders.
Gotcha.
And then you were 6-9 on the over unders, and I was 7-8 against the spread. So week one, always hard.
What about week two? Did we improve? What happened?
Week two, we were really good, by the way. You were over 500 in both, 8-6. I was 10-5 against the spread and 11-4 on the over.
So what does the year look? You got to be heavily over 500 in both of yours on the year.
I'm 17-13 against the spread. You are
17-12 against the spread.
You would be, that's not right though. You'd be, I guess that is right. 17-12 against the spread. How am I 17-13?
That's a good point. Why, how is that possible?
I'm 17-12 because see, I'm doing, this is why you don't listen to me because I can't do math on the fly. So 17-12, you're 17-12.
It is 13, Bogman. It is 13. I just counted it.
No, it's 13. Okay. Sure. Okay. Well, you know,
both
whatever.
17-13. Can't do
17
math.
17-13.
Fine.
I'm 20-10 against the spread, and you're 14-15 on the spread, or on the over-unders, excuse me.
Okay, so not so good on the over-unders so far. You and I are equally as good on the spread, but you are killing the over-unders. That is your specialty. So this week, we tackle it again. We can talk about the matchups and where we're at. Let's start it right off with Denver versus Green Bay. This was also, we did the parlays last week. I think the first week on the parlays, we missed every single one, the three-team parlay. This week, we hit two of the three. I hit the San Francisco +1.5. Thank you very much. Arizona +13. You hit Arizona +13. Kansas City -7. But we both missed our over-under. I had Green Bay, Minnesota. You had the Arizona, Baltimore game.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the four games I missed on the over-unders this week. And, of course, it was the one I was most confident in. So, you know. I
haven't hit that parlay yet. Right? So we need to hit our parlay this week to kind of be even with our two loss parlay. So Denver, Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 7.5. The over-under is 43. This is a game where you've got equally shared running backs. You might have it on both sides, as the Green Bay offense has talked about limiting the carries to Aaron Jones, so Jamal Williams is involved in it. So where do you go? This is a pretty big line. Green Bay is at home. Denver's all right. Are you going to take the points? Do you think there's a lot? I mean, yeah, where are you going with this?
I'm taking the points here, and it's not that I don't think the Green Bay is great, but I do think that they're not 100% in rhythm yet. And this is a home game. They should be the favorite, but I would put that line closer to 5, maybe push it to 6. But I think the touchdown and the hook, no, thank you. I'm going to take Denver, even though they're going on the road and stuff, and they haven't clicked on all cylinders either. But that's why I would also take the under. Is both these offenses, they're not sputtering, I would say, but they haven't clicked yet. So it hasn't all been working. So I'm more confident in the under, but I'm taking Denver in the points just because You know, the offense, we've seen flashes for Denver and we've seen flashes for Green Bay, but we haven't seen either one of them put together a truly flawless game. You know, they, Green Bay's offense looked really good against Minnesota. They scored 21 points. So, you know, three touchdowns is nice, but I don't know if that, I don't know if scoring 21 points is going to have you win a game against Denver by 7.5 points. So, Denver and the under for me in this one.
Yeah, I don't love the line, but I do still love Green Bay. And I love how their offense is running. I'm going to go exact opposites of you in here. I'm going to go Green Bay in the over. I think Denver, I think Green Bay gets out in front. I think Denver plays some catch up. They're going to be slinging the ball a bit. We see a heavy dose of both running backs. And I like us hitting the over. I feel more confident about the over than I do Green Bay 7.5. But I'm seeing Green Bay winning this game by 10. So we'll see where we go with that. Complete opposites to start this bad boy. Detroit at the Eagles. Philly is favored by 6. We've got a 45.5 over. No CJ Anderson, so presumably a relatively heavy dose of Kerryon Johnson, maybe a little bit of the other Johnson in here. A lot of high passing, I would expect, attempted from Detroit. But don't be surprised if this game starts hitting the ground because you've got Nelson Aguilar who's and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who are essentially the only healthy wide receivers in Philly. They said
Alshon Jeffrey is looking like he's going to go. I would assume.
Really?
That
I didn't see that. I thought he was out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was assumed that he was out everywhere, but they said he looks like he's ready to play.
I see right here. He remains sidelined on Friday. They're holding out hope that he's going to be able to play, but he's not going to get a single practice in.
Yeah, I know. So it's dicey with Jeffrey. I'm still like, I'm not rolling him out in my lineups, and he's much better. I don't know, man. Would you rather go with like a 50% Alshon Jeffrey or a 100% Trey Quinn or Terry McLaurin is probably a better one against the Bears on Monday Night Football?
Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, because I think that's kind of what people are going to wind up being faced with. I would rather go with McLaurin, too.
I don't feel confident about Jeffrey starting. And if he does, might play decoy. So I'm not. I think Aguilar is the pick. I mean, Zach Ertz is the guy anyway. So I'm just not into Alshon Jeffrey. And all that's coming back to is this could end up with a stout Philly defense could push Detroit to being on the ground. And Philly may need to be on the ground for time management. So I look at this game. I see this as a time management game. I'm not so sure I feel confident with the over. So I'm going to take the under on this and I'm going to stick with Philly. So I'm actually I'm going to go Philly in the under.
Yeah, I'm going Philly in the under, too. You know, Detroit, I understand what they want to do. I feel like, and I've said repeated this a bunch of times, so I'm sorry if you guys have already heard this, but I feel like they're the broke version of what the Vikings want to do, right? So they want to run the ball a bunch. I don't know that they have the running backs to do it. I know Ty Johnson. What, by the way, what's with all the Johnsons? They always have
Detroit Johnsons. Detroit loves Johnsons.
They cannot get enough Johnson. Mm-mm. Of the Johnson just so much.
No, I really don't think there's enough Johnson to satiate their thirst for Johnson.
They scored 13 points last week against the Chargers. You know, and I think Philly's got a better defense than the Chargers do. The Chargers are specifically banged up. And it's Philly at home. I'm going to take Philly, and I'm going to take the under in this. I see this game as like a 24-10, 27-10, like that in Philly's favor. So Philly in the under.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Baltimore at Kansas City. This actually has surprisingly turned into an offensive fest as it is the number one over and the only game with a 50 or higher over-under this week. It is the Baltimore offense because Lamar Jackson. Hollywood Brown, big offensive playmaker. Mark Andrews, a little banged up, but hopefully he's good to go. You might actually have two of the best tight ends going back-to-back and two of the best quarterbacks, at least two of the first 3 weeks of the season. Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, the highest-ranked quarterbacks out there, and they're facing against each other. Still a really good matchup. 52.5 is the over-under, and Kansas City is favored by 6 at home. So where do you go with it?
I think I got to go Kansas City and the over. And I know I said I'm going to take Kansas City and the over until they don't hit it. And they didn't hit it last week. But I think that was more about Oakland's offense not being able to do anything. I mean, we saw Kansas City scoring at will. And I think they can do that against most anybody. But I think Baltimore, most anybody can score on Kansas City. I think Oakland is one of those rare cases where they couldn't. Oakland looked really good week one, of course, against Denver, but they had the whole offseason to prep for that game. And 1 week to prep for Kansas City was a different story. So I'm going to take Kansas City. I'm going to go the over on this one, which might be dicey because it's the highest over. But I just see this as like, you know, one of those 35-28 type of a game, and Kansas City coming out on top. So that's a touchdown, and that's hitting way over.
I have a really hard time with this game. I have a really, really hard time with this game just because, you know, Baltimore. I think Baltimore's D could press a bit, but their secondary could just, Patrick Mahomes just might absolutely eat it up. Lamar Jackson is going to keep them in it the entire time. So do I see this, even if it gets out of hand, can this be a 30-24 game? That's what it would have to be. I kind of want to take the under. I'm going to take Kansas City and the under on this one.
Kansas City and the under. And that's not, slight I feel under. Way more confident about Kansas City than I do on the over. So,
yeah. By the way, speaking of all the Johnsons, Detroit loves their Johnsons. Maybe they don't love it so much. I just want to point this out. This is also after the article of, you know, his fingers going, running a post route. Did you also see in the article, he talked about the rampant opioid use in the locker room and that his daily medication was weed. He just smoked pot every single day, didn't get popped. And Calvin Johnson opens it up how you could walk in the locker room and easily get Vicodin or anything you possibly needed for pain management, and just how bad the system was. Like, it's a damning NFL article.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's that surprising, though, right?
Yeah, but you're getting a guy who, you know, left the league recently, who is an absolute star, that comes out and says these words. We usually get these from, like, you know, the fifth wide receiver that played for 4 years with the Rams or something like that. You know, you're getting Calvin Johnson, one of the biggest stars in the NFL, who also hasn't, you know, burned the bridges. He didn't order all this crazy stuff. He stepped away from the game, and he's talking openly how just years ago, opioid use is absolutely rampant in the NFL, and also, you know, the pot stuff. You know, I mean, like, just legalize it, or talking that was his pain management. I don't know. Go check out the SI article if you guys want. It's pretty interesting. All right. The Bengals at Buffalo. Buffalo is a 6-point favorite because Cincinnati looks horrid. There's a 44 over on this one. So what do you got?
I got Buffalo in the under here. I know people are confident in Andy Dalton. I'm just not. You know, they've started out 0-2. They look decent against Seattle, but they look terrible against your Niners last week. And I just think Buffalo is a much better team. They're a way more complete team, even though I don't think Buffalo's great. I think they're a more complete team than Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, you got to give them a little bit of time to adjust to their new head coach and everything. They've had Marvin Lewis for a million years, so. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt here, and, you know, which means betting against them early in the season. So I'm going to take Buffalo and the under in this game. I think I'm more confident in the under because Buffalo's defense is good and their offense can wane, especially without, you know, Singletary, and it's just going to be Frank Gore. It's just not hard to figure out. So it should be a lot of running and then pass on third and long. So I'm more confident in the under than I am picking Buffalo in this game, but I'm pretty confident in this game too. So Buffalo and the under.
I'm going to take the under, but I'm going to go Cincinnati on this one because I think this one could get a little bit messy. I don't think Cincinnati wins, but I think they could cover. And, you know, they're going to want to really press Joe Mixon after there's some questions out there. They still do have two good wide receivers, offensive players that are sticking out. And I think Buffalo might struggle a little bit without having some big playmaking ability from a guy like Devin Singletary. It's just going to be, you know, 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards. And John Brown's going to have to break a big one. So I'm going to go under in Cincinnati. We got one.
John Ross shut down in that game.
Oh, you That's think complete shutdown? Okay. One more. Let's get in real quick. Atlanta is going to Indianapolis. The Colts are a 1.5-point home favorite. Over under is 47. What is going on with Atlanta? I mean, I'm taking Atlanta in the over on this.
Yeah, so am I. And I feel 0% confident in this game. No confidence because we saw Atlanta beat Philly at home, but week one they went on the road and they laid an absolute egg at Minnesota. Now, you know, Minnesota's different than Indy, but I think a lot of the framework is kind of the same there with Luck gone. They want to run the ball. They want to play clock control. But also Indy's missing the best part of their defense, and Darius Leonard is going to be out for this game. So I'm going to take Atlanta. I'm going to take the over. I think this is like a, you know, 35-17 game in Atlanta's favor.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of go in the same thing. Some of the Colts are kind of banged up. I think Atlanta is going to want to make a statement. I think there's going to be a lot of Devontae Freeman. I think there's going to be early deep pass stuff, and we might even get some Ito Smith rocking. So I'm going to go Atlanta with a nice win here. I don't know if I feel confident, like uber confident about it, but I'm lockstep. Like, I don't think it's going to make my my parlays, but I like Atlanta in the over. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish these bad boys up, and then hour three, it is going to be Bogman and Casey Bubba. So don't you go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Breaking news here on In This League. It only lasted an hour and a half as we're recording this. I'm the Welsh. That's Bogman. I'm always right. Antonio Brown officially cut by the New England Patriots. He didn't even make the exempt list. So technically I wasn't even right. But I said he was done. He is already done as of Friday afternoon. Dunzo.
This is crazy. I don't know what the Patriots saw, what they didn't like. Maybe it was the harassment stuff. Well, I mean, the complete package is terrible. Trust me. AB, one of the most talented players in the NFL, but he's a complete POS.
Well, he was one of the most talented players. He is going to play as much as Calvin Johnson's going to play in the NFL now. He's done.
The face of the XFL, Antonio Brown.
No, you can't be a criminal in the XFL. Those are their rules.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know if he's a criminal yet, but it's not looking good for him.
No, there's time.
So, oh, yeah, there's definitely time. I mean, look, he hasn't paid his bills. So if he gets sued for that, you know, I don't know, man. This is it's a terrible story. You know, it's I think it's funny now because he's dug himself into this hole and he looks like a big idiot. I think we're going to look back in like 5-6 years and say, what a sad story. You know, this guy went from being one of the best players in the game to completely booted.
So. Yeah. You know, the interesting thing, too, by the way, we'll be burning through the picks on the back end here. The interesting thing with him is that there's nothing redeeming. Like, you're not going to come back. Like, a guy like Calvin Johnson, he went out on his own terms. Obviously, there was some stuff, you know, if he was self-medicating, whether it was opioids or pot or whatever it was, whatever illegal activity, like, that's not great. But the guy went out, good terms, whatever. He did his thing. You know, maybe there's going to be a little bit of a tarnishment for outing the NFL like that. What do we care? But Antonio Brown...
To be honest, that's in a good light at this point.
I mean, essentially. But now at this point, not only has I know he's always talked about like, man, I retire, I got money. Okay, well, you have no future in anything. There is that, like, I know guys that had stuff like Randy Moss and whatever, they didn't have anything like this. You're not going to get on television. You're not going to do the best he's going to be able to do. This is the best he's going to be able to do. Reality show. Following his chaos. He can sell a reality TV show to E, or he can Undisputed or something like that. No one's going to have you on as an analyst. You're not getting a media job everywhere. You can start a podcast or you can have a reality show. That's all that you have left. Maybe you could do both.
Well,
you have to be interesting
to have a podcast though. And he's just not interesting. You know, like he's weird, I guess. And people get that confused with weird and interesting.
Okay, but like Kim Kardashian is not interesting either. She's horrific, but people want to see train wrecks and people want to see that stuff. That's why it would work.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not the target audience. So
he self-sabotages himself every single day. It's literally the formula for reality TV shows.
Yeah, it just it sucks if you are stupid and traded Larry Fitzgerald for him a couple weeks ago. You know,
yeah, yeah, you like Insta did that too. But I actually thought for you that was a good risk for you. Well, yeah, but it looks horrific risk now because he's done. I mean, in our three sport league, I have him as one of my keepers, and I think I'm already 0-2. I'm going to sell this off. Once we're done with this show, I'm going to go off and let everybody know things are for sale. Antonio Brown won't be because he's never going to play in the NFL again. He's done.
Yeah, he he's I feel frustrated because I, you know,
defended him every step of the way.
No, I didn't defend his actions. Dude, I'm a Steelers.
You've never defended his actions. You've defended you've taken his talent.
Owning him on a fantasy team.
No, but you've taken his talent and you've defended it that it's so good that he's going to have to blatantly do something horrible to be out of the NFL. When he, with the Raiders stuff, you're like, he's going to find a job immediately, which you were right. Patriots, nah, he's good. He's on the Patriots. NFL hasn't done anything. We got to look at the actions. This guy is a train. He's never going to be back in the NFL, regardless how talented he is. He's done forever.
To be honest, I think that the, he's getting released because Belichick is sick of answering questions. Is sick of answering
you
questions
are right
about him. He left 2 days in a row. He left he left the podium refusing to answer questions.
No, you're totally right about that. That happened on Friday that he was up there, he was talking,
and it
he
happened left on Thursday.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Well, I mean, I think it's twofold. It's not threefold. It's not the Patriots' way. They don't want any part of this type of stuff. And I think it's telling what's coming down. He's gonna be put on I would be shocked if we don't see in the next couple of days that he's also been placed on the commissioner's list because the Patriots seem to turn their eyes or turn their heads to lots and lots of horrific stuff. Oh, we got to play. You know, they defend they'll take players with really bad stuff and they'll put it up against like, well, we're just going to be behind our players until they're not anymore, which this will be the case. So he'll be put on the exempt list. He's done for the year until the court stuff is settled and he'll never come back to the NFL. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? If he gets exonerated for everything, maybe he is done.
Yeah, he has to get exonerated. But even if he does, it doesn't change the fact that he's an a-hole. He's a diva. He's a POS that is hard to work with. So, you know, if you can't survive with the Pats, where the hell can you survive? I mean, what are the Dolphins going to go pick him up and try to put him in that locker room?
Well, why would they? They're not winning any
because
games.
They're terrible and they have no talent. No. Like, I'm just thinking of
so they need options. A bad PR mess?
No, no. I'm just saying that, like, the Dolphins are the team that you think would take a risk on someone like this because they have nobody. But there's no reason for them to do that.
There's
so
nothing.
I think you're right. I think that I don't think anyone's picking him up. And it's surprising for a guy that's that unbelievably talented. But it's one of two things, which is a super, super bad reflection anyway. It's either he is like the Patriots found out some stuff and they think he's going to be going to jail.
Or he's going on the list, or he's just straight up going on the list.
I mean,
like Jericho, you made the list.
Goodell could have said he's going on the exempt list until this is figured out, or he couldn't fit in the Patriot way. And if you're not able to put your stuff aside to go win a Super Bowl for the Patriots, then where are you going to set your stuff aside for? If you have no respect for Belichick and Brady and all of that stuff, who are you going to respect in the league?
Totally. But he proved that he can't do it. It's one thing if you can be on the field and you can say a couple things to the media that doesn't give out anything. And then immediately that night you go out and you have relatively incriminating, you can argue if it's harassment or not, but putting one of the victims or the people that are accusing him of a crime, putting her on a group text with pictures of her and her family, regardless of whatever the words are, is super intimidating. And he can't help himself. He's a moron. He's garbage. And now he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. He's out. He gone.
Guess
and
what,
I'm
though?
Going through my lineups right now trying to figure out where. Luckily, I've replaced him. He's in my flex spot in two spots, and I put LeSean McCoy in.
Oh, okay.
Because I had McCoy out.
But guess what?
Not horrible.
Josh Gordon is back. We are back. God. We are all back
well,
in on Josh Gordon.
Well, that's the perfect example. Josh Gordon is a perfect example. A guy that screwed up multiple times, right? He seems like he's an idiot because he just can't follow the rules. We find out the stuff about how he's an addict, and it's a sad story. And the Patriots stood by Josh Gordon for 3 years.
He kept doing things and kept being a problem.
What was it? 14 days? Was it even 2 full weeks for Antonio Brown on the Pats?
No, I think it was 11 days.
11 days yeah. he lasted. So Josh Gordon lasts 3 years. He was suspended for a big chunk of that.
Do we technically have, didn't we just reset the Antonio Brown clock? Do we have to reset it again? We did an hour ago.
Yeah, I think we'd have to reset it. But hopefully no one signs him. Hopefully no one signs him. And this just is not a story.
And you know what the worst part about this is? And also, I hope people pick up like kind of some of the things we're talking about. Like, he might be innocent on stuff. Like, I'm not sitting here saying every single thing out there that has happened is true.
Even if he's innocent, of the real horrible stuff that he's accused of, it doesn't make him not an a-hole.
That's the point here of what I want. Like, whether he's innocent or not, it's not for me to judge. I can make my opinions, but it's not for me to judge. It's in the entire process of everything. There is 0.0% humility. All he does is continue to cause problems. He has to have the last word. There's not one humble bone in his body. He cannot sit back and not have the last word, and it cost him, and it's good. Good. He needs to be done.
And how good does this make Roethlisberger look? Remember when he was bashing Roethlisberger? And all that stuff. Dude, I mean, look, Roethlisberger's got his own stuff, but
I saw somebody being like, oh man, Gruden's laughing right now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Gruden gave up a 3rd round pick. Tomlin and the Steelers are belly laughing. Juju Smith-Schuster is probably out on Fortnite right now, just laughing his ass off. Having the best time they've ever had in their life. I just hope
he doesn't do anything crazy when he's not playing football. I just hope he can fade away and kind of figure it out. But I know that's probably not it. He's probably going to sign, like you said, some crazy deal to do a stupid show and do something else.
It's going to be nuts. 100%. It's going to be like, you know, the real me, you know, business still booming, you know, the untold story of Antonio Brown. And it's going to be all the reasons that everybody else is wrong but him. Zero accountability with this guy. Zero. It's the worst. And now here's your easy answers. You need none of Antonio Brown. Cut his ass. Don't trade for him. You can get nothing for him at this point. Bogman, you took a minimal risk. It sucks now, but you know, whatever. I don't blame you for doing it, though it does suck that you not only don't have Larry Fitzgerald, who you're a buyer in on, you also don't have Antonio Brown, but those are the risks that we make. I'm all good to be all out on him, just like the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm. There's no one on the wire that I'm running to pick up.
John Ross.
So I am going to wait and see if some stupid team takes a risk on him, because the talent obviously still there. But I wouldn't be like, as soon as he goes on that exempt list, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to worry too long. I don't think you're going to have to ponder too long about the moves. I imagine by the next waiver claim period, you will know exactly what you're doing with him, whether another team has picked him up. Or, as I guess, he will be put on the exempt list and he be gone.
Yeah.
13 days, by the way. Wide receiver played one game, 13 days with the team.
Ugh. Mm. God.
And I like these people. I'm also seeing now people are blaming, like, who's this? Clarence Hill Jr. says, I give the Patriots no credit for moving on from Brown. They should have never signed him. They should have never signed him, save for their own arrogance and duplicity.
Whatever. When they signed him, they didn't know about this sexual assault allegation. Well, so I don't necessarily blame the Pats. Maybe they should have done a little bit more due diligence and research and whatever. But how can you blame them for wanting to sign a super talented player?
Hey, look at this. This is Sean McVay being told about Antonio Brown just now in a press conference.
Into that, or you know, his availability and his, whether to bring someone like that in or you just pass?
I would say this. I mean, you always look into things, and we evaluate, but with the situation we have specific to the receiver position, we couldn't be happier with the guys that we do have.
I thought they were going to judge. They said the quote here from Lindsey Thury says he goes, oh, wow, when they told him. So this must be right after where someone, of course, had to start asking. Every single coach is going to be asked, oh, are you going to be interested? Every single one is going to say no.
I'm looking at our group me room, and someone says $9 million for 11 days isn't bad, because that's what he got. That was the signing bonus.
That's ridiculous.
And our guy Nolan says the Steelers need a wide receiver.
Get out of here. All right, we have like five. Nope. We have like 4 minutes to burn through these picks because of Antonio Brown. So how about lightning speed round here? Atlanta, Minnesota, -9, 43.5.
Oakland, Minnesota. I'm going Minnesota and the over.
What did I say?
You said Atlanta.
Oh, I was looking at the one above. Oakland, Minnesota. You're right. I'm sorry. What are you doing?
Minnesota and the over.
Ooh, I am going to go Oakland and the over. I'm going to say they cover. They're going to be hyped up about Antonio Brown.
Oakland and the over.
They're going to be all hyped up.
The Jets at the Pats. Pats 22.5 point favorites, 43.5. The spread here, New England and the over.
Yeah, New England and the over. Oh, my God. We have two lines of 22.5 because Miami at Dallas is 22.5 in favor of the Cowboys with a 47.5 over. That is unreal. And I'm going Dallas and the under.
I'm going Dallas in the under too. Miami can't score. Yeah. So
this is 38-3,
something like that. So no thanks. Giants at the Bucks. Bucks 6.5 point favorites, 47.5. I'm going to take the Giants and I'm going to take the under on this. I know both these defenses have been ugly, but I think this is a, I think it's a cleaner game, but it's like a 21-17 type of a deal. And I don't know who wins, but I'm going to take the under.
Remember, I'm very exposed to this game, Bogman. I am going to go with the Giants, but I'm going to take the over. I actually think this could be, I think it's close, and I don't think the Giants have to win this, but this could be like 33-30 because of messy defense. Carolina at Arizona. Cardinals are a 2.5 point favorite, even though the pride of DHMS is coming back to Arizona. Kyle Lewis?
Allen.
Why did I say Kyle Lewis?
Kyle Allen.
I don't know why I said Lewis.
Former Cougars, Houston Cougars QB is
and
is
Desert
starting
High School quarterback.
Yes,
from Arizona. Yes. Arizona's 2.5 point favorite.
Cardinals in the over. This one's fairly easy. I take the Cardinals and the over in this one. I think it's set a little bit low because Kyle Allen is starting, but I think this is a blow up game for the Cards.
I agree. I'm gonna go same with you. New Orleans, Seattle. Seattle's favored by 4. Over under is 45. I am going to take New Orleans. No, I'm going to take Seattle in the under.
I'm going to take New Orleans in the under. Seattle hasn't looked good. You know, the Steelers have looked terrible, and they barely lost to Seattle, and Seattle almost lost at home to Cincinnati week one. So there's something not right there. I'm not super confident in New Orleans, but I think that they beat a 4-point spread. So New Orleans in the under from me.
What do we got next?
Texans at the Chargers. Chargers by 3, 48.5. I'm going Houston and the under in this game. I think Houston is just the better team, but I think that, I think that they want to grind a little bit more like they did against Jacksonville. I think Carlos Hyde gets involved a bunch. Under in this one.
Let's see. We got Pittsburgh at San Francisco. Niners are a 6.5 point favorite here. 43 is the over. Due to the line, I'm going to go Pittsburgh in the over, but I think San Francisco wins the game.
Pittsburgh in the over. What do you pick on Houston in L.A.?
Oh, I don't even think I picked. I'm going to go, 48.5? I'm going to go Houston and the under.
Houston and the under. Yeah. Okay, I got it. We got barely any time. Rams at the Browns. Yeah. Rams by 3, 47.5. Rams in the under for me.
Rams in the over, and then Chicago, Washington. I'm going to go Chicago with the over.
Chicago and I'm going to go the opposite. Washington and the under from Maine.
All right. So. Well, we're out of here. I'm out of here. Bogman's is going to be joined by Casey Bubba coming up. Thank you guys as always. Enjoy a fun hour coming up here right here on In This League.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.